Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, back live tonight with another awesome topic. Can We Talk Radio comes to you Fridays from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're back from a month's break, and I have a great show lined up for you guys tonight. We want to spend a little time talking about the ways both men and women can position themselves to receiving their God-given spouse. I truly believe, it's my belief that God has a special somebody that he has handpicked for each and every one of us. We have to remember that God is a loving father who wants the best for us. He wants us to be happy. But more importantly, he wants to see our conformity to the image of Christ in our lives. And this will be reflected in the type of spouse that he has handpicked for us. Many of us are in the position where our hearts are desiring to be married. But the thing is that marriage is something that we should not take lightly. It is something that we should not embark on or endeavor to be a part of without reasoning or thinking with our minds of what we should be doing whilst we're single. Marriage doesn't change the habits of your single life. If you were filled with lust and promiscuity in your single life, you'll be filled with lust and promiscuity in your marriage. If you're abusive and outrageous outbursts of anger in your single life, it will be manifested in your marriage life. If you're insecure and are drawn to the wrong types of people that God would not choose for you, these are all examples that things in your life need to be corrected. The Bible says that one must study themselves to show themselves approved. To be approved for marriage, you have to study for it. All of us have the potential to be great men, great women, great husbands, great wives, great mothers, great fathers. But the issue is, potential is not potential until it's realized. Just because you have potential doesn't mean you're going to do it. So the purpose of this show is really to help us to self-reflect and self-examine ourselves, to look inside yourself and ask, what are those missing pieces in my life? What are those things in my life that I know that if I bring it into marriage, it will completely erase what God has intended for me to enjoy? Whilst we're single, we have the time to get it right. We have the opportunity to position ourselves to a place where you say, I do, and you mean that. Divorce should not be an option, people. So with that said, I want to go ahead and introduce tonight's guest on tonight's show. Man, when I say he blew me away with his videos, man, the brother blew me away. And I want to introduce to Can We Talk for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dale Lott. He is a former singles worship leader, currently runs a blog titled BetterPickupLine.com. He's also the author of a book titled In That Land, which is a book that talks about seed time and harvest to an approach to finding a wife. And he is currently preparing for an upcoming speaking tour this summer designed to show singles how to receive a godly spouse through the grace of God and through the principles of seed time and harvest. He resides in Fayetteville, Georgia, with his wife and two daughters. Dale, it's good to have you on the show. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. How about you today?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, bro. Man, Dale, man, what do you think about tonight's topic and why is it so important?
Well, I think it's an amazing topic. The main reason I believe that it is important is because, you know, the foundation of the kingdom of God basically is through strong families. You know, strong families comes from a healthy marriage. And what I find is that we try so hard to create strong marriages by dealing strictly with marriage ministry. And really the issues, they start well before that. They start in single life. How do you go about making that decision, who you select as a spouse? You know, what is the mindset that you have, you know, prior to you getting married? If you don't believe that you have choices in life, you may not feel like you have choices when it comes to getting married. You may end up finding that you are selecting someone based off of your circumstances or based off of your low self-esteem or your weakness. So one of the things that I've always been trying to teach people is how to believe God, not only just for a spouse, but who you are in Christ. And once you realize who you are in Christ, it makes it easier to receive everything that he's done for you and to go ahead and find that person that he's already prepared for you.
Wow, that's awesome, Dale. Dale, I'm going to go ahead and in a few seconds, you know, turn you over to the show so you can, you know, kind of talk to our listeners about this very topic. And I'm going to give you the floor for maybe like 20, 30 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely. Guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. The title of today's show is titled Positioning Yourself to Receive Your God-Ordained Spouse with special guest Dale Lott. Dale, I'm going to give the floor to you.
All right. Well, you know, as I said, the main thing when we're talking about finding a spouse is, first of all, believing what God, who God already has set aside for you. I remember reading about the president of Alcoa. His name is Paul O'Neill. And when he worked for the government, they were trying to figure out in South America how come they had a high infant mortality rate there. And what they discovered is it was because of the poor diet of the mothers. But they also discovered that in order to fix the diet of the mothers, they had to teach them how to eat well, not just during pregnancy, but before pregnancy. But the reason they couldn't teach them how to eat well is because they didn't have teachers to teach them, because the teachers weren't prepared to teach them. So then they had to go back to the starting line, prepare the teachers to teach these young girls how to eat. Once they did that, that automatically corrected the problem of the high infant mortality rate. I feel that's the same thing when it comes to marriage. In order to fix the problems in marriage, in order to build the kingdom of God effectively, we have to have healthy singles who know who they are in Christ and how to go about receiving what God has for them and who he has for them. One of the things, you know, that I see is that the body of Christ is struggling with unbelief. You know, we have a situation where we don't necessarily really believe what God has said about us. By that I mean, the Bible's already said that God has saved us through grace, by faith. But what we find ourselves doing, we find ourselves trying to qualify for the promises of God. And in trying to qualify for the promises of God, we find that we are also trying to qualify for a spouse. We're trying to do so many different things to receive what God has already promised, everything that he's already laid out. We keep trying to qualify for it when it's already been given to us by the grace of God. And we don't take the time to develop in that belief so that we can see the promises of God in our life. And I would say that as you're preparing your mind in order to understand these truths, the main thing that you have to understand is you have to realize that if you don't believe what God has said about you and what he's already laid out for you, you can't walk in that truth. If you remember the children of Israel, they weren't able to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. And the disciples asked Jesus, they said, what must we do to work the works of Christ? And he said, this is what you must do, believe in him whom he sent. A lot of times you see so much advice about what you should do and what you should not do. Don't do this, do that, go here, go there. When our main thing is we have to believe in God. We have to trust in him, because other than that, we're just trying to do it by our own self-effort. And the Bible always tells us that, you know, by no works of the flesh shall man be justified. You cannot qualify. You cannot receive by your own self-effort. It takes trust and faith and belief in him. So belief is a very important thing, because he's already made it available. It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when you think about it, if he's prepared it beforehand, it says that he has written out our days before we were born. If he has done all of that, he's laid everything out. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. If he's already laid it out, then what are we doing trying to make it happen on our own? Why don't we just receive it? Why don't we just trust him? I remember reading the story of the temple where Solomon was building the temple of God, and it said that the stones, they were shaped and hewn at the quarry away from the temple. But when it got to the temple, the stones, they were all just laid into place without using any tools. Everything just fit. So if God was so concerned about a man-made temple, what do you think it is about your life? So he's already prepared it. And I hear so many people all the time saying, you know, I don't know if it's time for me to get married, or, you know, I got so much to work on, I got all of this stuff to do, without realizing that God has already made you the righteousness of God. You are as perfect in your spirit, not necessarily your mind, but you're as perfect in your spirit as you're ever going to be. You're already qualified. You know, there's nothing else that you need to do to qualify to receive the spouse that God has for you other than believe him. Belief is the key determining factor as to whether or not you're going to get results. It's not the action, it's the belief, because the belief actually produces the action. If I ask you whether or not you believe that this chair can hold you, and you say yes, okay, great. But the test of your belief is you sitting down. So when you really believe something, you begin to act out on it. And the question is, well, then what do I need to believe when it comes to trying to find, you know, not trying, but in order to receive a spouse? The first thing that you really need to believe is God's love for you. If you don't believe that he loves you, you will not receive the package, the gift that he's already given you. When you got born again, he gave you a gift called salvation. And that salvation is a total life salvation. It has everything that you need. But if you don't believe that he loves you, then you don't believe that he has the best for you. And I find that a lot of times people don't realize that God loves them. I would say the second thing that you would need to believe is that he has a plan for you, including a spouse that's tailor-made according to the way that you are wired. The Bible tells us that, you know, he wants to give us the desires of our heart. He wants to use those desires to satisfy us. He satisfies our mouth with good things. God has a plan for you. He prepared every good and he prepared every good work that you should walk in them. The thoughts that he thinks towards you are of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You have to believe that. When you believe that he has a plan for you, it allows you to have a certain confidence, and it allows you also to be able to walk clearly in that plan. You believe that he has a plan for you. You believe that he has someone that's for you. The last thing that you would need to believe is believe what God has said about you, who he has made you. Because if you don't understand that you are the righteousness of God, you will always allow yourself to think less of yourself than you are. You will not realize that that gift has been left for you. When it says that the desires of the righteous shall be granted, if you don't identify yourself as righteous, then you don't realize that that gift is for you. So I see all of these problems that people are having in their mindsets, and what that is doing is making it very hard for them to find the spouse that God has for them. Originally, when I first wrote the book, it was just simply about predicated just so much on the spouse. And I realized that a lot of the decisions, though, that people are making is because of unbelief in other areas of their lives. So you have to begin to broaden the scope of what you're looking at. And by that I mean, again, believing who you are in God, believing that he has a plan for your life, and then, again, believing his love for you. Now, the thing is, when you have this belief settled, you've actually set the compass of your mind to receive the spouse that God has for you. You know, a lot of times people are trying so hard, but they're not able to obtain what God has for them because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what you're thinking about yourself is actually blocking up what God wills to do in your life. Remember where the children of Israel, God had already laid out the promised land for me, and they sent over the 13 spies. And only Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report saying, hey, we're well able to take the land. But everybody else, they were saying, nah, we can't do it. It's a great land, but we can't take it because we're like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we in their sight. And there you see a very key point. It is that your picture of yourself controls you way more than your picture of God. Yes, you might believe that God is able and God is awesome and God is wonderful and God provides, but is he willing to do it for you? Are you awesome in him? Are you great in him? And I see a lot of people struggling with that. And that has to be a subtle issue. You have to begin to think that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. The Bible tells us also to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What you put in you and what you allow to flow out of you, that's going to determine what is seen in your life. I can tell you what is in your heart when I look at your life, when I hear the words that you speak, and I see what your actions are. I can actually tell what you believe, because what you believe naturally flows out of you. So a few of the beliefs that people have that they seem to get wrong is, I'm not sure if it is God's will for me to be married. I don't know. Well, very clearly it says that it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So God has already declared his will for your life. It is his will for you to be married. And you just have to make up in your mind that you're going to receive who he has for you. And not only that, but remember he says that he's going to give you somebody that's comparable to you, somebody that's suitable, designed for purpose, suitable for comparison, similar or like to you. Now, when it comes to that, you won't be able to have a wife or a husband that's on a completely different level. Remember I said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So to what level that you've attained to your thinking, that's pretty much what you can hope to expect, because that's what you're drawing back to you. You're drawing back to you someone that's like you with a similar set of circumstances as yours. So as you grow in your righteousness and as you grow in your belief in who God created you to be and the plan that he has for your life, you're drawing someone to you that fits into that mindset. And so that's a mindset that you have to have corrected, that it is God's will for me to be married, and he's going to bring to me somebody that's in line with who I am, somebody that believes as I believe, somebody that thinks as I think, someone that fits well into my life. The second thing that you have to realize is the person that you decide to align yourself with, the person that you choose to marry, they're going to have a tremendous impact on the type of life that you lead. A lot of times we think that, you know, we're autonomous and that, you know, hey, we're the masters of our own universe. But remember the Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so does a man the countenance of his friend. And the Bible also says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, when you get married, you're going to have people begin to make adjustments. Why? Because they want peace. They want to have some level of agreement. So you start making adjustments. And the question is, do those adjustments lead you to or away from the will of God for your life? So you got to get out of the mindset of, well, I can just marry anybody and fulfill the will of God for my life. You cannot. You actually have to begin to find someone that aligns with your purpose. And when it comes to whether or not there is just one person for you, I don't necessarily agree that there's just one person for you. But I do believe that God knows who we work best with. You know, even with Isaac, when they sent when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, you know, it began to say that, let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. So I believe that God has already placed us together, not necessarily just one person, because if that was the case, then if your spouse died or your spouse decided to leave for whatever reason, then you just have nobody else to fall back on. But when you look at the beginning in Genesis, it says male and female, he created them. I believe that God created you a pair, not necessarily just for each other, but according to purpose. I believe that each person is called according to the purpose, and he knows how to draw you to people that are called to your purpose. The third thing that I hear a lot of people say is, I don't know if it's God's time for me to be married. And I also think that that is a little bit of a cop-out as well. Again, he has already spoken that it is his will for you to be married. He's already finished it. He's already written out your entire life for you. But here's what happens. What happens is, it's kind of like being in school. When you're in kindergarten, there's a set of tasks that you have to complete, that once you complete those tasks, you're able to move to the next grade level and hear the next set of instructions. Well, if you refuse to progress past kindergarten, you never get to the 12th grade where you hear the words designed for a 12th grader. The curriculum has already been set. And that's what you have to realize, that the plans for your life has already been set. It's already done. God is not coming down off the throne to do something else for you. He has already done it. But it's now up to you to continue to progress so that you can hear, this is your spouse, you know, this is your husband, that's your wife. So you have to get out of that mindset, oh, that is not time, because when you have that mindset, it's not time, it's not time, it's not time, it's not time, you begin to create your own reality, and you begin to shirk off the responsibility of growing and developing and believing and receiving what God has already said about you and for you. Excuse me. Now, the other thing is that I really want people to be careful about is, you should never be in such a hurry to be married that you are willing to replace what God designed for your life with an imitation, because doing so has lifelong ramifications. You see, where Abraham, God promised him that he would have a son. And so what Abraham did, he was trying to figure out, well, how will this happen? And he allowed his wife to convince him, hey, why don't you sleep with my maidservant? And there was the first problem. A lot of times we allow other people to speak to us about something God didn't speak to them about. So you got to be careful about listening to other people when God didn't speak the promise to them. He spoke it to you. So he goes and he has a child with his maidservant, and that's Ishmael. And God says, that is not what I had for you. So, of course, Isaac is born approximately 13 years later. And you know the story. Ishmael had to be sent away, because that which is of faith, which is Isaac, and that which is of fear, which is Ishmael, they can't coexist. And we see that those two factions, the children of Isaac and the children of Ishmael, they are still at war today. So it's like when you pick someone that is not according to the will of God for your life, according to the purpose and the plan of God for your life, what you end up with somebody who is always an antagonist to your plan, because the seed always produces after its kind. And so if you birth something out of the seed of fear, the works that it always produced will always be works of fear, always contrary to your purpose. But if you were to select someone according to faith, is birthed out of the seed of faith, it's always going to produce works that are in line with what God has spoken, what God has spoken according to your purpose. So what we see is, a lot of the questions that I get out of this is, well, what is the next step that I take after I understand that God has somebody for me? What is the next step? What do I do after I set the compass of my mind, after I realize, you know, these four truths? You know, what do I do? Well, at that point, the thing that you really want to do is begin to saturate your heart with the Word of God for your life. What that does is that allows you to be full of the promises of God. And when you're full of the promises of God and you're clear about the promises of God, it allows you to recognize your spouse, your future spouse. Why? Because they're called into the purpose. So you have a blueprint, which is your purpose, and that blueprint lets you know what is the required personnel. What are the things that you need to accomplish what God has set up for your life? And so when you have allowed yourself to be saturated with the Word of God, now you're able to properly evaluate everything in your life as to whether or not it fits according to the purpose of God for your life. The other thing that it allows is it allows you to be able to walk in grace towards that person, because they were born out of you. They were born out of your, you know, they were born out of you, out of that purpose that's on the inside of you. And so it allows you to view them differently. You aren't viewing them by their mistakes. You aren't viewing them by their past. You aren't viewing them by their shortcomings. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Eve didn't have a name at that time. So after the, you know, they had sinned, that's when Adam first named her Eve, or mother of all living. Why? Because he was seeing her as she truly was, not according to the mistakes that she has made. So that would be the very, very first thing that I would suggest. Begin to saturate yourself with the Word of God. It also hastens the arrival of your spouse. Why? Because what you've put in you as a seed, that is what flows out of you. We're all familiar with Mark 4, where it says the sower sows the word. And as it goes on, it says that, you know, these produce the harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, basically in accordance with how they farmed. So if you want to see the Word of God come to pass in your life, you want to see your spouse come to pass, what you have to begin to do is you have to begin to put the Word of God in your heart about a spouse, about a mate, and you allow that word to sit there until it begins to produce harvest. When it produces harvest, it comes up out of you and it automatically manifests itself in your life. It's not a matter of the effort that you have to put in. It's not a matter of did you go to the right location or did you say the right things? Do you have the right qualifications? It's a matter of what you put in your heart flowing out of you, and it has no choice but to show up. So when you put the Word of God in you about a spouse, your husband or your wife has no choice but to show up. And when you've been studying the Word of God, you won't be surprised when you see your spouse, because they're going to be shaped according to your desires. They're going to be shaped according to what you've been praying about, according to what you've been studying, and they come up out of you. So you're going to be able to recognize them because they look like that purpose. They're filled with the same purpose, so it makes them easy for you to recognize. And I believe that this is a much simpler way to be able to find the spouse that God has for you versus doing all of the rules and the regulations, because the rules and the regulations, they actually prevent you from being able to experience the power of God, because you keep trying to do it in your self-effort, and you can't do it in your self-effort. God is the one who gives spouses. It says that he places the lonely or the solitary in families. So God has already placed you in a family. It's a done deal. It's a finished work. All you have to do is accept it, receive it, believe what God has already said, and allow that belief to shape your course of action, to shape your words, because you have to begin to talk differently. You can't allow yourself to, you know, with that negative speech, there are no good men left, or women don't like me as much as the next, or people think I'm too nice. I'm tired of people hurting me. I ain't going to let that happen no more. You got to begin to watch those attitudes, because it's what's flowing out of you. And if that's what's flowing out of you, you have no choice but to receive that in your life. But when the Word of God is flowing out of you, when that is your meditation, that is your imagination, that is your speech, that is what you believe, then that begins to flow out of you, and it has no choice but to manifest itself in your life.
Man.
So those, yeah, so that's just a quick primer.
That is powerful, Dale. Man, that was some powerful truths there, Dale. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we have a special guest on the air tonight, Mr. Dale Lott, all the way from Fayette, Georgia. And the title of today's show is titled "Positioning Yourself to Receive Your God-Ordained Spouse." And if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Dale, you mentioned some really unique points, and I wanted to ask you, in your experience as a minister and author and national speaker, what do you see are the main ways men and women hinder themselves by engaging in behaviors that attract the wrong people and move them out of position in receiving their God-given spouse?
The main thing that I see is their thought process, their belief. You know, as Christians, we firmly preach, you know, no sex before marriage. You know, we believe that. But I remember, I've heard people make the statement also that a man won't love you or marry you, whatever, if you have sex before marriage. And to be honest, I can't say that that's true. And the reason I say that is because I have seen people that have done it the complete wrong way, and they've gotten married. But then I've also seen people that do it what we would consider completely right, and they're still not married. And so my question was, well, God, what's the difference? Got one person that we consider doing it wrong, and the other person we consider doing it right, and how come they're having two different results? And the answer is, according to their belief. The children of God cannot enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, not necessarily because of what they did right and wrong. Remember that the blood of Jesus has been shed already to forgive us for all of our sins, to make us righteous, to save us. It wasn't our works. It was a free gift. But what makes that difference is our belief. Remember that, you know, with the heart we believe, right? Believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it is our belief that connects us. And again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your belief will inform and begin to direct your actions. Now, that doesn't mean that I approve of sex before marriage or anything like that, but what I want to get people out of the mindset of is if I just do things, I can receive the promise of God. It's what you believe that causes you to receive the promises of God. And what you believe, again, will inform the decisions that you make. So now you begin to abstain from sex before marriage because of your belief in God and not because you're trying to do something to qualify.
Amen. Dale, I identified a few things that I want to discuss real quick, and you know we can toss it around. Some points okay. that I came up with as far as positioning yourself, and the main thing that I believe that we should be looking at in an individual is the content of their heart. What is inside their heart? Because deception isn't evident when first presented, and anyone can deceive you once they first come into your life. That's why when you're considering someone, you have to first ask yourself, who sent you? Everything in this world, just about everything in this world, is influenced by one of two things, either from good or evil, God and Satan. These are influences, and these influences will draw people into our lives. That's why you have to make sure you find out the content of that person's heart to see, is this person really the one that is being sent by God for me? And you can only do that by time. Time reveals everything. Time will always reveal what is hidden. Dale, what do you think about my comment?
Actually, I think that's very true. You know, I find that a lot of times, even when we're dealing with Christian relationships, you know, when it says do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, I don't think that that's just referring to non-Christian. I actually believe that that's referring to people with a different set of what I call master set of thoughts in you. You know, they have a different vision, a different purpose, a different assignment. And you find that a lot of times, that people who have long-held beliefs that are wrong and long-held traditions, sometimes it's harder to reach them. It's harder to make impact in their lives than people who just aren't saved. So when you're looking at meeting someone for the first time and you're trying to figure out who they are, just because they say, hey, I'm a Christian, doesn't mean all of a sudden, hey, this is somebody I can marry because they're a Christian, I'm a Christian. No, you have to begin to evaluate what it is that they have on the inside of them. And no matter what they say, when you're sitting down and having this great conversation, what you have to begin to pay attention to is, what do they say, what do they do, what are they thinking about when they're not paying attention? Because those things that just flow out of them naturally, that's what's actually in their heart. And now you can begin to determine whether or not the two of you are aligned on the same purpose. I remember there was a homeless guy who walked up to me, and he asked me for some money. And I remember I said to him, I said, I don't have it. And, you know, I just thought I was saying a nice little euphemism, you know, just to kind of get him away from me. And God immediately stopped me. He said, that's what's in your heart. He said, if you were Bill Gates or you were Donald Trump, you wouldn't say I don't have it. You would just say no. And so when you begin to pay attention to what people are saying and what they're doing when they're not paying attention, when the pressure's on, that's when you find out what is actually in them and what their thoughts are, and you can begin to evaluate. And another thing real quick is I just believe as you begin to spend more time with wisdom and having a relationship with wisdom, and you begin to submit to wisdom, allowing wisdom to shape you and mold you, and you begin to love wisdom, what happens is it actually makes it easier to recognize what's on another person because of the fact that what's in, you know, if what's in them is not the same as what's in you, you'll be able to tell. But if what is in them is the same as what's in you, you will be able to tell that too. Just like when Mary and Martha met for the first time while Mary was carrying Jesus and Martha was carrying John the Baptist. Remember, it says Martha's stomach, the baby began to jump in her stomach when Mary's voice entered Martha's ears. Why? Because what was in Mary, what she was full of, was able to accurately detect what was in Mary just by the voice of her words. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dale, I want to take a quick call from the 562 area code, the 562 area code. Hello, do you have a question or comment for Dale?
Yes, I do. Hi, my name is Dewana.
Hey, how you doing, Dewana?
And I'm good. And I've been listening to what you were saying, and it's great. And a lot of things that you are saying, I mean, we deal with things that's going through our minds. You know, I've been married before several years ago, and I've been single for a while. I mean, I've had boyfriends, but lately the way my life is going, the way I would like it to go is I would like to abstain from all the things that God would not have me to do,
mm-hmm.
rather than sacrifice myself, my relationship with Christ, you know, everything that God has promised me. I'd rather have that than basically a wham, thank you, ma'am kind of thing. But then on the other side of that, in your mind plays tricks on you. So the devil tells you, you know what? You know, you need to go out and you need to meet somebody. You need to go to a club, or you need to make sure you go out there where you can see somebody. Because my life now, I'm recently moved from California to Washington, and so I don't really know a lot of people out here. And so in my mind, even yesterday, I was thinking, you know, Dewana, this is your life. You know what I mean? It's not like you got a mm-hmm. husband or nothing like that. You go into work, you coming home, you go lay up in the bed and watch TV on the weekends. You lay in the bed watching TV. You work, you know, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day if you can. And so you're kind of thinking that, you know, am I going to meet somebody, you know, like you said, I guess I don't have to be at a certain place. But I don't know. One side of me saying he ain't gonna ever find me here, laying up in the bed watching TV. So, I mean, what do you do?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what you do, because I understand. I mean, that's clearly the challenge, especially as a Christian. That's the challenge, you know,
right.
Because you don't want to accept just anybody.
Right.
Okay. Remember, God already had a promised land prepared for the children of Israel, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
they could not enter in because of unbelief, right? But it said that
right.
he had a rest that's already prepared for them. Now, when you're resting in God, that means you're trusting in him, you're relying upon him, you believe that it's already done, right? Now,
right. Mm-hmm.
in Hebrews 4:11, it says, let us therefore be diligent, or let us therefore labor to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So what that means is you are going to have to fight to stay in that rest. Wait a minute, God. Mm-hmm. You said that this is already done. And you have to begin to change your language. When Abraham, mm-hmm. when God told Abraham he would have a son, Abraham wasn't rock solid at first, you know. Think about it. He continued to meditate. God says, I want you to look at the stars. If you can count the stars, that's what your children are like. Look at the dust, the sand on this, by the seashore. That's how your children are going to be. Then he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And Sarah's name was changed from Sarai to Sarah, mother of many nations. So mm-hmm. what he began to do over and over again, he's meditating by looking at the stars, looking at the sand. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to meditate on the Word of God and allow the Word of God to develop images and imaginations on the inside of you. And once that Word develops imaginations and images on mm-hmm. the inside of you, I want you to begin to play that over and over again in your mind. Pre-play your future. The second thing that you're going to do is you're going to speak the Word of God. Okay, now instead of being called Abram, he was called Abraham, father of many nations. So now you have to get your mouth involved, and I want you to begin to speak in line with the Word of God. Do it on purpose. You know, mm-hmm. don't go to God praying, God, please send me a husband. No, Father, I thank you. You sent me a husband. I believe you. I trust you.
Yeah.
I thank you that you sent me someone that's according to your purpose for my life. And when Abraham began to do that and mm-hmm. stop trying to do things with his actions, you see three results that happen real quick. You see, when God told him to sacrifice his son, he went with his servants and with his son. When they got to the mountain where he was to sacrifice his son, he says, hey, look here. I want y'all to stay here. Me and my son, we're going to go worship God. We're going to come right back. So now, and then in Hebrews, it says that he had already seen his son raised up from the dead in a figurative sense. So meditating on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, trusting in God, mm-hmm. forcing himself to stay in that rest produced three changes for him. First, it gave him new thoughts and images because he saw his son being raised if he had to be. Second, he became quick to obey because when God said, go sacrifice your son, he didn't hesitate. Third, he had new words. He had new thoughts. He spoke differently. He told his servants, we're coming back. We're going to worship. Come back. And this began to flow out of him naturally. It wasn't something he had to work to do. And as you do that and you allow that word to get in you and you allow that to become your thought, there is nothing that can stop it because once it is in you and flowing out of you, it naturally has to execute itself in your life. You just got to get to the point where you stay in that rest.
Right. Yeah.
Not about what
definitely.
You do. It's not. Now you again let your belief inform your decisions. So while you're doing mm-hmm. this, if all of a sudden God says, or you get that thought, you know what? You need to go up to the Best Buy today, or there's an event. Go to that event. You need mm-hmm. to be willing to. Okay. Well, I'm gonna be a barefooted priest. I'm gonna walk. And I'm gonna go with God. Hey, put on that red jacket today. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, put this red jacket on. Why? Because God is trying to order and direct your steps. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that you're not going to do anything. That means you just stay in the house like a little hermit. But it means that whatever you do in belief and faith that God has already set my future.
That helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
you know, but one more thing, question. Yes, I do. Now, since I've been out here, I've met like five different people, but I know they're not the one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not attracted to them any kind of way, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, so I think maybe the devil put these people across my path. But the good thing about that is they not somebody I want, so he's using the wrong bodies, okay? He needs to try again. There's nothing I want, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I mean, but what if God put somebody across my path that's meant for me, and I don't realize that's the one, you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, but I kind of think that if he does, when he does that, I'll know, and the person will know, I think. What are your thoughts?
my thoughts are pretty much for the most part you will understand and you will know. Because here's the thing. A lot of people think God is going to send me somebody that I just have to accept. I don't know if I'm going to like them, be attracted to them physically or not, but hey, maybe it's God's will. No. You got to say God is not really interested in just meeting your needs. He's interested in giving you what you like and have what you like meet your needs.
All right.
So he knows you intimately, right? So as you spend time with him, he will begin to – okay, people like to make lists, right? I'm not opposed to lists, but the way I like to do it is say, let God inspire the list. Let the list be based off of what you were studying in the Bible, because that is a God-given list versus just he has to be 6 feet tall, six figures, because that's a very generic thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If you want somebody 6 feet and make six figures, I'm not saying that God will not give you that. But I'm just saying a lot of people make their lists based off of very, very shallow things sometimes. And as you get older, you've been married before. I'm sure you probably realize that now what's important to you more so than when you were single the first time.
Oh, I'm very specific. Married.
Right. The only thing that I will caution you is you got to kind of know what kind of man you're getting. Are you getting a man that's already fully matured, or is he in process? You know, because are you getting a Boaz who's already set, ready to go, or are you meeting David before he slew Goliath?
Mm.
And you got to be careful not to miss the guy that's in process that was for you. You see what I'm saying? Because you just figured, I want the man that's on top. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. You might not already be on top yet. You're still in process.
Yeah.
Maybe you need the guy in process and y'all walk together.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we do allow our predetermined notions to get in the way sometimes. But like I said, I do believe that God has someone for you, that you will know it, and it's not somebody that he's going to force on you. You have choices. If you say, God, I'm not feeling that. Well, then, you know, that's not God. I had a minister friend of mine say this. If you took me to a car lot, bought me every kind of every car that was ever created and said, Pastor, God told me to buy you every car, and I did it, and every car is black. He says that cannot be God, because I hate black cars. That's not God.
Okay.
God knows who you are. I promise you, when that person comes, you will be so pleased, you won't have a choice, really, because it will fulfill all your needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's
I understand.
Your need. So...
Definitely.
And if you find that these guys that you've been talking to are not the ones, you got to be careful about spending your time with people who are not the ones, because what they end up doing, they end up serving as impediments to what you really want. God says that he would, again, God said he would supply all of your needs, right? Well, it's like a hotel. If there is no vacancies, right, there's nothing to fill. So you have to be careful about having placeholders in your life that are inhibiting the other person that God has for you from showing up.
Yeah, I'm getting real good about not having placeholders. Really good. You know what I mean? I just don't have the time or the energy to waste anymore. That's the way I feel. You know, if you ain't the one, I really don't have time for you. That's the way I've been for a while, you know.
Right. You know. Now,
amen.
Now, like I said, I'm... Yeah, so that's pretty much that.
Amen.
Okay,
okay, well,
thank
stick around.
You for your time.
Stick around.
Oh, okay,
and, we'll
definitely.
Get back to you. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Dale, I wanted to talk to you about this important point about settling. Ishmael versus Isaac, Mr. Right or Miss Right Now. And in society, it's amazing how we are bombarded with all these ideas and relationships, that the longing to be loved, the longing to be accepted. Society has built walls that pull from out of us that longing. But if it's pulled out too soon, it can cause us to settle for something that God never intended for us to begin with. The Bible says that the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. There are a lot of differences between Mr. Right and Mr. Right Now, and Miss Right and Miss Right Now. The barrier in between them is maturity. We're not talking about perfection per se, but maturity on the basis of what holds up a godly relationship. Mr. Right Now, and Miss Right Now, many of us are settling for those because of our insecurities and our voids, and emotional imbalances due to our longingness for a relationship. Because of this, we settle for someone for right now, and the demonic forces tease us, and they cause us to jump into these situations. And Dale, I've talked to so many women, so many men, and one particular woman that I talked to years ago, she and I now know based upon what you said, it was because of the belief system that she had, that she was with this guy that clearly was not God sent to her. It was a man sent by Satan, I believe, to hinder her, to keep her away from Mr. God ordained, and to waste her youth, waste her years on a guy that she had a soul tie with, and she didn't understand that infatuation is not love. This man is not, if he's not loving you the way God loves you, it's not love. And not only that, this man was not in Christ. And if he's not in Christ, he's going to be your priest, your covering. And if he's blind because he's not in Christ, the blind isn't the blind, he's going to lead you into a ditch. And your destiny, and she was a businesswoman, and your destiny, who you're trying to be, is he's going to short circuit that destiny that you're trying to build. And so it's so important that we do not settle for Isaac. I mean, we don't settle for Ishmael, but we wait for Isaac. So can you touch upon that? Because it's very important, because I know right now there's people listening right now that are making choices that are not God choices, and their destinies are pretty much on the line here.
Right. So God has already prepared everything for your life. And what happens is we don't quite believe it. So we go about making our own choices, making our own decisions for a whole host of reasons. Like you mentioned, low self-esteem, insecurity. Maybe it was a financial decision at that moment. Or maybe you're just anxious, or you were just physically attracted to the person. But what happens is we end up marrying or in a long-term relationship with someone that wasn't designed for us. And so over the years, we can't help but to feel more dissatisfaction. And what I find in those kind of relationships is there is a dissatisfaction that never goes away. You complain about everything that they do, excuse me, but then at the end of it, you kind of, but I just love them. No, you really don't. You're complaining. You don't like this about them. You don't like that about them. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to meet your needs through somebody else. For example, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau's the firstborn. He is supposed to be the mantle carrier for the family. You saw that Isaac and you saw that Abraham before him, they were shepherds. But when you look at Esau, you find that Esau is out in the field. He's being a hunter. Now he's out in the field, and all of a sudden he comes back from the field and he's weary. And so he says to Jacob, hey, give me some of that red stew that you're making. And God stopped me right there and said, see, here's the problem. Esau is out in the field not being what I called him to be. And when you find yourself outside of the bounds of God's portion for your life, it causes weariness. When you find that you're weary and that you're tired, it's the first indication that you're not residing in the grace of God, in the goodness of God, in the rest of God. And people do that. We don't reside in the grace of God and the rest of God, and then we go to another man, another human being for provision. So you're going to another human being for acceptance, for love, for care, for support, because you don't really believe that God loves you enough to take care of you. Now, if you allow yourself to grow in that belief, grow in the love of God, not necessarily that you love God, but that he loves you with an extraordinary love, that love casts out fear. That allows you to begin to sit in that rest. That allows you to begin to wait on what God has promised for you, and you begin to receive the promises of God in your life instead of the imitations. The imitations come into play because we aren't resting and we're trying to meet our own needs, and we're trying to meet our own needs through placeholders, through imitations, through things that were not designed by God. And that is the biggest trick of the enemy. Even in the Garden of Eden, he started with "Hath God said." Hath God said. Basically, he's trying to get you to doubt what God has said and has already prepared for your life. He even twisted the words. "Hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree." And God didn't say that. God says you can eat of every tree except for one. God wanted them to focus on all of the abundance that he had already prepared for them. And Satan was trying to get them to focus on what they didn't have, what, you know, that God is trying to hold something back from you. And he does the same thing for us in relationships. Instead of focusing on the abundance of God's grace and his provision for us, we begin to focus on our flaws, our mistakes, what we aren't good at, and we turn to other people for provision.
Amen.
Did that answer correctly?
Absolutely. Now, Dale, so what would you tell the woman or the man, especially the woman, because I believe that women have a lot to lose in the sense that, I mean, well, we all do, men and women alike, but a woman's going to receive a man as her husband who's going to be her covering. Now, if that man is incapable of covering her incorrectly and she picks this man because of the voids that are in her and that man now becomes attached to her, she's now soul tied to this man. And so a lot of times you hear stories of men marrying women and they feel like they can never truly love that woman because that woman, her heart is never quite fully with him because she's still married. When I say married, I mean she's soul tied to another man of her past. And so you talk to women sometimes and there's always this one guy that has the power to manipulate them, has the power to come back in and out of their life as he pleases. And they will just drop that dude that they're with at the moment in time and go back with this dude. And it never goes anywhere, but they end up wasting 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and nothing good comes from that. And so they lose out on the man that God has for them. And that man who was yo-yoing in and out of their life, he goes on to marry somebody else. And so that's such a tragedy. And same thing for the men. You know they get into this trap. And what would you say to people who are facing those scenarios right now?
The key thing for you, and I go back to it, is to believe the grace of God. You know, the Bible says, I am what I am by the grace of God. It says that his grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in weakness. You have to begin to rely on the grace of God and understanding that you've been made the righteousness of God. Once you understand your identity, it makes it easier to deal with all of the attacks. If I set a present before you, and it has your name on it, Raz, but you don't recognize that as your name, you'll never open that present. But the moment you begin to recognize that as your name, now you're willing to open that present. Just like the young lady before, Dawana. If I set a present before her and it says Dawana the Righteous, and she doesn't recognize her name as Dawana the Righteous, she's still identifying herself as Dawana the Hopeless, Dawana the Broken, Dawana the one with low self-esteem, Dawana the Hurt, Dawana the Fearful, whatever it may be, or Dawana the Sinner. She won't open the package. And what happens is we are holding ourselves to our past by how we identify ourselves. But once you begin to identify yourself as a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you are the righteousness of God, you begin to reign and rule in life. The Bible says that through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign. So once you begin to understand your identity in God, understand what he has already done for you, not what he's doing, but that it is a finished work and you believe in that finished work, it makes it easier to accept what you're reading in the Bible. People are reading the Bible, but they are not looking at it correctly with the proper lenses. They are looking at it through the eyes of a guest. And they're not realizing that this is who they are. So when you begin to realize this
It's who I am. I am a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God. God loves me. He has graced me. He has already done it. There's nothing more that I have to do to qualify for it. Now you begin to read the Bible totally different, and what the Bible begins to speak to you, now it gets inside of you. And once it gets inside of you, change takes place. People's minds weren't being renewed before because they weren't looking at it as if it was really them that they were reading about. No, this is you. This is who you are. It's a done deal. And so when you start talking about those soul ties cannot be broken until you have a renewing of the mind. And your mind has to say, wait a minute, God already has someone for me. God has a purpose for me. And you begin to allow the word of God to begin to shape you and build you up because it's already done. Once you realize it's already done, that he's transferred you from the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Okay, that means that soul tie no longer has any power over you. When we realize you're in Christ Jesus, and God has already placed everything under the feet of Christ Jesus, so that means it's under your feet. You realize that all of those old habits, all of that old sin, all of that old mindset no longer has any power over you. That's how you pull down those strongholds, by believing who God made you, that he loves you, he has a plan for you. And so now you don't begin to waste your time in those kind of relationships because you are so hungry looking unto Jesus, looking at him, focusing your mind on him. Whatever you focus on, that is what's going to have the greatest potential to come to pass in your life. So when those old thoughts come up in your mind about that old flame, about that old soul tie, don't allow yourself to continue to meditate on them, because now you are giving opportunity for those situations to reoccur in your life. You relive every thought that you have. When you allow yourself to think about a thought, when anything that you're remembering, you begin to relive it. When you begin to relive it, you reinforce it in your mind. And when you reinforce it, you cause it to reoccur in your life. That's how come people end up with the same situation over and over again, relationship after relationship after relationship, because they're caught in a cycle of their thoughts. So in order to break that cycle, it is about getting in the word and believing what the word says, realizing who you are. That helps to break that cycle. And now you are so focused on what God has you. Because remember, what's in your heart in abundance, that's what's going to flow out of you. That's what you're going to think about. Also, that's what you're going to talk about. You won't be able to help it. So when you spend your time in this word, you won't be able to help but to produce what God has already rooted in you. And you don't have to work. You don't have to worry about that old flame one. That soul tie is broken. God has already done it. You're healed. You're delivered. You're set free. You got to settle that.
Amen. That was powerful, Dale. Man, guys, you heard it from Mr. Dale Lott. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about positioning yourself to receive your God-ordained spouse, and we're talking about many truths here about your self-image and how you see yourself from the inside and how you see yourself as it relates to how God sees you. And the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Dale, I want to quickly touch upon, and I know you've already discussed it. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I want to talk about real quick. I want to talk about unhealed scars and in the sense that people have damages from other relationships. Those baggages sometimes don't allow God to heal us effectively. And so, you know, the moment you engage in, you know, maybe God will bring that person to you, but for some reason, you know, you keep reliving the past, and it just paints a bad road for the future. You know, unhealed scars can, you know, those have to be dealt with before you can truly position yourself to receive your God-ordained spouse. Can you touch upon that real quick?
Yes. The main thing to remember is, the Bible says that Jesus bore our sins, our weaknesses, our infirmities, our shortcomings on the cross so that we would not have to bear them. So if he shed his blood for healing in our lives, not just a physical healing, but a life change, a mental healing, an emotional healing, now what you have to do is you have to accept that. It is a finished work. Excuse me. There is nothing else that you need to do to qualify for that. A lot of people are trying to heal themselves well, if I confess the word of God 15 times a day, that'll do it. No, that won't do it. You confess the word 15 times a day because you're just trying to get it in your heart and you're just trying to lock in that belief. You're trying, you know, you're laboring to stay in that rest. It's not the 15 times a day that did it. It wasn't your self-effort. It was the fact that you connected with your faith and your belief that did it. Whether it was the first time you said it or the 15th time that you said it, it's going to be one of those times that you're going to say it with belief and conviction. So it's not about the doing. It's about the believing. And the believing, again, informs the decisions that you make and the acts that you take. Now, when people are talking about, I have these old scars, I have these old wounds, the longer you allow yourself to identify with those old scars and those old wounds, the longer you take possession of it, the longer you're going to deal with it. Oh, he hurt me. He hurt me. It's just hard for me to trust somebody because I've been hurt before, and I'm not gonna let that happen to me again. That kind of speech is now blocking up what God wants to do in your life. Think about it, because that if we use the body as a physical representation of that kind of speech, it's like having your hands closed. Nope. I'm not giving. I'm not doing. I'm not letting anybody hurt me. Well, while you have your hands closed, nobody can get anything to you. So God is extending his hand to you, you know, where he has all of his goodness, all of his favor, all of his love, but you won't open up your hand to receive what's in his hand because you're so closed trying to protect yourself. When you got to realize that it's not up to you to protect yourself, it's up to God to protect you because he loves you, he cares about you. And it says if God is for you, who can be against you? And that's the attitude that you have to have. You know, if somebody tries to hurt you, wait a minute, do you know who my daddy is? He's the Alpha and Omega, Elohim. He's El Shaddai. And he loves me too much to allow me to be hurt. He loves me too much to allow me to be abused. He loves me too much to allow me to have less than his best. But the thing is, we don't allow ourselves to believe like that. We are so busy trying to defend ourselves. And we saw that the children of Israel, when they had one of their greatest battles, is when they were like, you know, the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. When they were saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to even have to fight in this battle. We're just going to go out. You know, God's fighting for us. We ain't going to have to do that. We're just going to go praise God. A lot of times people just need to learn how to praise God for what he's already done. You're going to have to make up in your mind that you're going to let those old hurts and those old wounds and those old scars go. Doesn't mean that it's going to feel good all the time, but remember, you are laboring to stay in that rest. You're laboring to stay in belief because everything is going to come against you to try to make you doubt what you said you believe. And that's what all that hurt is. It's old programming trying to come up and say, hey, remember this? Remember how that happened? Remember how that happened? And you need to remind all that old hurt. Wait a minute. I'm the righteousness of God. God takes care of me. God is my defender. You know what? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my shield. He is my defense. I trust him. God is the lifter up of my head. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You have to begin to combat it with the word of God and believe the word of God. And the thing is, when I say using the word of God, be careful, though, not to hide behind the word of God. I'm sure, Raz, you've been at church and you've seen some women that they're raising their hands, praising the Lord, talking about, ooh, Jesus got me. That's the only thing. All I need is Jesus. And really, you can tell that that kind of speech and that kind of display is really a display of hurt. And it's not about faith in God. When it's about faith in God, you know, there is a different spirit about it. You know, because when anything that of your own self-effort, even though it may look good, oh, you're raising your hands in church. You know, you're saying that God got you. Okay. But because the root of it is still fear and hurt and disappointment and self-effort, what you're going to draw is you're going to draw a situation to you that is going to put you right back where you don't want to be. There's a man that's going to be looking, oh, wow, she's praising God like that. And really, he's picking up on all the insecurities. He's picking up on all the hurts. So that's when you get that dap daddy that want to come up, and he's going to end up hurting you. And you're not, because you're not drawing, you're not giving off faith. You're giving off fear, doubt, unbelief. So you draw to you the result of that doubt and that fear and that unbelief.
Wow. Amen. Now, Dale, real quick, I would like you to address people who are listening right now who perhaps have made, who have been married before and made mistakes in that marriage. They entered it in ill-advised. They may have not performed well in that marriage due to issues that they feel bad. You know, they're wondering, is God mad at me? Can I still find that right person? I mean, would I get another chance to do it again? You know, the enemy will probably try to beat them up in their minds. As far as you had your chance, that's it. You had one shot and you messed it up. You know, what would you tell those people who are probably in that sort of predicament or in that sort of mindset?
There is therefore not no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And also, I would say unto them that when it talks about God dealing with the world, He says He's not imputing their sin against them. So God sent His Son because He loves us so much, because He's rich in mercy, and because of His great love with which He loved us. He has already sent His Son to die for us, to set us free from all sin, right? And the Bible says that Jesus died once for all. He shed His blood for the remission of sin once for all. He has taken care of the sin issue. He's taken care of all of your past mistakes. Love covers a multitude of all. God is holding nothing against you. Matter of fact, He never required you to qualify in order to receive His goodness. All He asked you to do was believe in the finished works of Jesus. But again, people are trying to come up with their own righteousness. And the children of Israel fell into that. And that's why God was like, you know, man, they haven't attained to the true righteousness because they keep trying to establish their own righteousness. And if you allow yourself to walk in that guilt and walk in that condemnation, oh, I made a mistake, or I didn't do this right, God, are you mad at me? No, He's not mad at you. He loves you. If you allow yourself to keep walking like that, what you are doing is you are holding yourself in a place where God never designed for you to be. He didn't design you to try and qualify. He didn't design you to walk in condemnation, to walk in fear, to walk in regret. What He wants you to do is believe Him. So you got it wrong the first time. Oh, well. Believe God. Trust God. I mean, Abraham didn't sit and waddle around in fear and in condemnation and unbelief and, you know, self-loathing because he had Ishmael. Oh, God, that wasn't it? Oh, okay, well, God says that's not it. So, okay, well, let's try this again. And he got Isaac. So you might not have gotten it right the first time. It might have been your fault. It might have been the way that you acted. It might have been something that you did. But guess what? That is not your story. You have to realize, you know, those things, those old things have passed away and all things have been made new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus that has never been seen before. There's never, you know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's put it out there like that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a purpose, a future, and a plan for you, and He has someone that He has designed to walk with you. God is not surprised by your idiosyncrasies. God is not surprised by your flaws. He's not surprised by your mistakes. He's not surprised by the things that you like or the things that you don't like. So when He brings a gift to you, He has brought someone to you that's tailor-made to all of that, that knows how to deal with you effectively, that fits perfectly into your life. And when I say perfectly, I don't mean without flaws or that there is never any hiccup, but I mean they fit completely into your life. And so you can't allow yourself to just hold on to that. Really what it is you're not forgiving yourself. And, you know, you're trying to set a level of self-righteousness for yourself that you have to attain to. And that's why it says that, you know, that by no works of the flesh shall man be justified. And those who try to attain righteousness by the law, they don't attain righteousness. But those who are not trying to attain righteousness by the law, they do obtain righteousness. Why? Because they're obtaining it through their faith and their belief in the finished works of Jesus, what Jesus has already done. Jesus was perfect, walked it out. All you got to do is get inside Him. If you get inside Jesus, hey, guess what? It's already done.
Amen. That's woo. Amen. Man, Dale, I think we got Dawana back, and she may want to ask you one last question before we close the show. Dawana, are you there, and do you have a last question for Dale?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Dale. Me again.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, the more I listen, the more I learn. And now I want to talk about when you were saying, you know, of course you stand on the word, but I think I'm probably lacking in that area as far as reading the word as much as I should.
Okay.
So, you know, standing on the word kind of means, too, that you have to know the word. Or,
mm-hmm.
I mean, where's a good place to start in that? I mean, I've read probably all of the New Testament before and some of it more than once. But where do you start? Like, I mean, what's good verses to grasp and get in your heart and get in your mind to meditate on?
First of all, let me ask you this question. I have a place
mm-hmm.
that I have in mind for you to start, but I really
okay.
want to know, what are your goals? What are you studying for? I mean, are you asking me scriptures to find about a good man, or scriptures that would help me to develop as a virtuous woman of God, or scriptures that just build up faith in general?
Yeah, definitely. Well, my goal is to definitely be a virtuous woman of God, and I want to be the type of woman that when my Boaz come to find me, or whatever, that I'm what everything I should be, and probably God won't introduce him to me until I am that. But I know that God loves me, and I know that he answers all my prayers, and it mm-hmm. really just trips me out, even the small things, you know, like what we don't think about, like a parking space or something, you know. Sometimes in the morning, I know I'm running late, I'll be thinking, God, have a parking space for me, because it's crazy trying to park at this place. And it's there, just one, and it's mine, you know.
Save the God.
Stuff, but, yeah. So the virtuous part I mean, just general to build my
okay.
life up. But in addition to that, what you were saying about standing on the word for your mate as well, you know, like you can regurgitate
okay.
stuff, you know what I'm
right.
saying?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. First thing I want to tell you is you mentioned that God might not bring you your spouse, your husband, until you attain to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it sound like you are almost putting yourself in a position where you have to attain it by your works. And remember, it's not by your works. It's by your
mm-hmm.
belief in God, okay? So
okay.
don't ever put a limit on when God's going to do it or when it's going to show up, because when it shows up, it's just going to show up according to where you are. So even if,
mm-hmm.
you know, if God brought you a husband tomorrow, if you believe in, you know, and you receive what he said, God could bring you a husband tomorrow. And the fact of the matter is, he would be in line with where you are now. You see what I'm saying? And you just walk
yeah.
together. So
okay.
It's not a matter of, oh, I have to do this first, because then it becomes that God's goodness is only predicated upon what you do. And that's not New Testament Christianity. That's Old Testament Christianity. That's
okay.
living by the law. So
mm-hmm.
where I want you to start, okay,
mm-hmm.
I want you to read Romans. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I want you to read. You're gonna go Romans, Hebrews, and then I will take you to probably start you in Galatians. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What I really want you to pay attention to, okay, in those
mm-hmm.
three books, is the contradiction, okay, between the
mm-hmm.
law and grace. Okay, the law was all about what you do first, then God moves. Grace is about God has already done, then you do in response to him. So
okay.
as you read, you will begin to find that the law was only designed to show us that we aren't good enough to live without God. And it tells us that when you try to live by the law, you're cursed. You try to live by the law. A man who does that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you live by that. There is no power of life in living by the law. The power comes from living by the grace of God. And so Hebrews really expands on there's this old covenant and there's this new covenant. And once you begin to realize that a lot of what you were reading in the Old Testament is old covenant where people had to qualify first in order to receive the goodness of God. And the New Testament, after Jesus died, is about, wait a minute, he's already made it available. It's already taken care of. Now you begin to read the Bible differently because the Old Testament really starts when the children of Israel are in the wilderness. And they say, God, give us a law. Tell us what we'll do, and we'll do it all. That's when the law comes in. But when you read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I would advise you to read those two. All you're seeing is the free gift and grace of God on their lives. How, look, at they made mistakes. They did all these things wrong, and yet God's goodness still prevailed. So that's where I would start. That is your identity, okay?
Okay.
As far as you developing as well to being that virtuous woman, I would really read a lot of Proverbs, especially, yes, you do have Proverbs 31, but I would also really, really read Proverbs 8. The reason why I say that is because the Bible always refers to wisdom in the feminine. Women have this natural ability of being of having answers from God. Women are mastercraft, and you give a woman anything as a seed, and she'll turn it, she'll multiply it and give it back to you. That's the wisdom of God. So notice as you're reading that it's always referring to wisdom in the feminine, and then it's contrasting wisdom with the loose woman or harlot, a woman of harlotry, because it's making the contradiction. And so as you begin to read that, allow wisdom to begin to shape you and mold you, okay? And as you do that, that's pretty much what you need to do as far as, you know, preparing, you know, for a husband and a scripture where you're talking about, well, God, I need a scripture for a husband. I would actually use Psalms 45.
Okay.
In Psalms 45, and I'm going to find the exact scripture for you in just a second.
Okay.
It is 45:13-14. It says, the royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins are
nice.
And that's something that you would use. God, I thank you that you brought me to my king. You know, and that word, honestly, if you studied it out, the word, it says the royal daughter is all glorious. It's really abundant and rich. And her clothing is woven with gold, also means brilliance and splendor. And because the two words, the palace, are italicized, I just kind of take them out, and I say the royal daughter is all glorious, abundant, and rich within. So within you, you are glorious, you are abundant, you are rich within already, and your clothing is woven with gold, brilliance, and splendor. You understand?
Yeah, I see that.
So that's where you want to start.
Okay, definitely. And I really appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thank you for having this show. Anytime, because you know what? This show, every time I listen to it, it brings me knowledge, it brings me wisdom, and I think everybody needs to listen because, I mean, I really learn a lot every time. And I thank you. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
No
Thank
problem.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, well, guys, we're coming to the end of the show. I see more calls coming in, but we got to close the show. It's about that time. Dale, I just want to thank you, man of God, for agreeing to come on today's show. And, man, we would love to have you back for as many shows as you can do. I mean, we want to pull out as much wisdom as we can from you. Your message is very clear, very concise, and it was very, I would say it was very idiot-proof, if you ask me. I mean, you know, anybody could follow what you were saying, and you broke down the Word of God, and you made it more tangible to the pursuit of happiness as it pertains to a spouse. And so we can take what you said to actualize it and realize it in our lives, and that was very powerful. So, Dale, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. This is the kind of show where you're going to have to just log onto the archives, and you're going to have to replay this over and over and over again so that they can sink into into your subconscious mind, into your spirit, into your heart. And so this is one of those shows. And so, guys, you know, download them into your iPhones, into your Android phones, into your iPods and iPads, and listen to this again. So, Dale, I really would hope that you could come on again. We're going to do a part two to this. And I also want to do a show, Dale.
Yes.
Talking about your book, Addressing the Men, Finding a Wife. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be real good. I'd love to do that.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Can We Talk Radio, that's who we are. That's what we do. My name is Raz Williams, your host. And we will be back, I believe, either next Friday or the Friday after that, hopefully with Dale back. So, guys, have a blessed weekend. Tune in next week.
Hey,
yes,
Raz.
Sir.
Real quick, I just want to tell everybody you can find my website as betterpickuplive.com. That's the blog. And on all social media, it's just Dale Lott Jr.
Okay. Now, Dale, do you provide any sort of, like, counseling for anyone who may want to talk to you or – get some further insight into your ministry.
Yeah.
How can they reach you?
Absolutely. Just when you go to betterpickupline.com, you know, you can actually just, you know, fill out the contact form, you know, and then we can just set up contact from there. Or if you reached out to me on Facebook or Twitter or even YouTube, like I said, it's just, you know, / Dale Lott Jr. Reach out to me through those platforms as well. And, you know, I'd love to talk with you.
Absolutely. Now, Dale, you're starting your tour very soon. Are you going from city to city around the country? How is that going to work?
Yes. Starting June 5th, I'll be going – I'm starting in Birmingham, and then on August 9th, I finish in Jacksonville. I'm doing the East Coast – that's the East Coast swing. And after that, then I'll be doing the West Coast swing, probably starting in September. So – if anybody's listening that they would like me to come to their church or, you know, to their organization and speak, reach out to me through those platforms that I just mentioned. And I'd love to set up something and come out there and just deliver the word of God and, you know, just help people grow.
Amen. Amen. Well, definitely you'll be hearing from me for sure. And
great,
I'm sure
great.
Many other people. Okay, guys. Well, Dale, thank you so much for coming on, Dale. And, guys, it's about time for us to go. Tune in same time next week for Can We Talk Radio.